I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody on a very damp and miserable morning. It's nice to see you all here with us as we come together for our service of morning prayer. We also want to say a special word of welcome to all who are joining us online. We've been speaking in recent times to some people who've been tuning in from home after times in hospital and going through times of illness. So it's great that you can worship with us. And wherever you're watching today or wherever you're tuning in, you're especially welcome as we welcome everybody here to the hall on this rather damp Sunday morning. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking a little bit about the challenge of forgiveness. That's the theme of our service today. It's a challenging topic and one I think that we probably all struggle with in different ways in our lives, but that's the theme of our worship today. Hopefully on your way in, you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come, and you'll see that all of our regular weekly activities are up and running again, and they're all happening at the time that they normally happen. We just remind people, as we always do at the moment in this time of a little bit of disruption and chaos with the work going on outside, that after our service this morning, if people are available, just to take away the chairs in anticipation for toddlers tomorrow. And then we're going to leave about 40 chairs along the sides for toddlers. So if people can help us with that, we're very grateful. And we also will set up the evening service after Sunday school is finished. We set up for the evening service. So if people are available to give a little hand with that, many hands make light work. And thank you to everybody for all their help and all their patience during this time of work. And progress seems to be going well, we think, at the moment. So that's good news. We're going to stand together to sing our opening hymn. If you're following in the Red Church Hymnal, it's hymn 662. And the words will also appear for our service on the screen if you wish to follow there. We're going to sing hymn 662, He Who Would Valiant Be.
Service of morning prayer, which begins on page 101. Beloved in Christ, we come together to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Merciful Father, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The psalm appointed for this morning's service is a declaration that God never betrays us, never abandons us, and never forgets us. Together we read Psalm 103, verses 1 to 13, and it can be found on page 709 of the prayer book. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with faithful love and compassion, who satisfies you with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He made his way known to Moses, and his works to the children of Israel. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness. He will not always accuse us, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor reward us according to our wickedness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy upon those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he set our sins from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord merciful towards those who fear him. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen.
Would you please be seated for our first reading?
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 14, beginning at the 19th verse. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of their chariots so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing towards it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. This is the word of the Lord.
Our next hymn is a prayer of surrender to God. We stand to sing hymn number 640, Purify My Heart.
Second reading is from Matthew chapter 18, beginning at the 21st verse. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell to his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me, and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had the mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." This is the word of the Lord.
And we respond to what we've heard by standing and affirming our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. The Collect for today, the 15th Sunday after Trinity. God, who in generous mercy sent the Holy Spirit upon your church in the burning fire of your love, grant that your people may be fervent in the fellowship of the gospel, that always abiding in you, they may be found steadfast in faith and active in service, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, the author of peace, and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn prepares us to receive God's word. It's number 325, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when we try to read the Bible and to understand it, we complain that it is much too hard to grasp and it has no relationship with our lives whatsoever. But this morning's gospel reading can't be accused of these things. In fact, my problem with this morning's gospel reading is that it is way too real. And what it's asking of me is very difficult. You see, this morning's gospel reading is all about extending mercy and forgiveness. And we tend to be quite selective on who or what we deem to be deserving of forgiveness. In a complex world, the reality is that not everyone has been born equal. If you, for example, have had the best of educational opportunities, it is unlikely that you will need to steal to survive. Or if you've grown up in a nice neighborhood with both parents encouraging you throughout your life, you're likely to believe that you can do whatever you would like to pursue in terms of careers. Or if you've never been abused because of the color of your skin or your sexuality or your religious background, you are less likely, perhaps, to engage in that kind of behavior yourself. But there is so much darkness and hatred at work in our world at the present time. And it is hard for Christians to know how best to respond. And the easiest thing for us probably is to line up the ducks in terms of how we respond and react and speak about these things. And the bad people we believe are usually the ones who are different to ourselves. Whether we deem them to be mad Muslim fundamentalists or drug-fueled teenagers or power-mad despots who don't care what happens in terms of world peace and security. But we tend to come to our own conclusions and judgments. And then Jesus tells us one of those stories of his that tend to knock us for six. He speaks the story in answer to Peter's question about forgiveness. And it's a question that I believe most of us have asked at least once in our lifetime. And the question is, how much is enough when it comes to forgiveness, Lord? When our partner has an addiction and lies to us yet again, or when our employees have stolen from the company, or when our children seem to throw back in our face the opportunities that we've worked so hard to create for them, how much at that point is enough? When do you draw that line in the sand and walk away and not feel guilty that you should have tried a little bit harder? And Peter, in fairness to him, he tries to quantify it. He even tries to be generous in his approach to that difficult question. But we notice that he got no reassurances, and he certainly got no congratulations from Jesus. Instead, he was told in no uncertain terms that when it comes to mercy and forgiveness, there are no limits. And on many levels, as I speak those words this morning, it probably sounds in our ears like the very opposite of good news. But it's only when we go a little bit deeper that we see that this story that Jesus tells us this morning is in fact good news. And as we hear that story of the man who had an impossibly enormous debt to repay, somewhere in the region of £2.4 million in modern money, if my commentaries are accurate. When someone owes so much and they have the threat of them and their families being thrown into prison, ultimately there is only really one thing to do, and that is to beg for mercy. And the begging for mercy on the grounds that the debt will be somehow repaid is, of course, total nonsense. It would take that man literally many hundreds of years to be able to earn enough to repay the enormous debt that he owes. And yet in this incredible, amazing act of grace and forgiveness, the king wipes out his debt with a stroke of his pen. And the blessed recipient of such grace, well, we would think to ourselves he ought to be jumping for joy. He ought to be overwhelmed with relief. But instead, he goes outside and he spots an unfortunate fellow servant who owes him a few pounds. And as that fellow servant pleads with him in a similar way for mercy and assures him that all will be repaid, this man will have none of it. And he throws his fellow servant into prison until the debt is repaid. And the fellow servants report this behavior to the king, and the original debtor is then thrown into prison for life. And what's at the heart, or the very heart, of this story for me, when I think about some of the things that I find hard to forgive, is how important it is to appreciate whenever we have been truly forgiven. The man who was freed from his huge debt, well, he seems to have thought very simply that he got away with it, and he was then free to do as he wanted. And in many ways, we all tend to do something similar in our own lives. We very often take for granted the mind-boggling gift of God's love and forgiveness, most powerfully shown on the cross at Calvary. And we adapt the mindset that somehow we deserve it and other people don't. The liars, the cheats, the people who hurt us, the people who plant suicide bombs, the people who vandalize churches, they don't deserve it, but we do. And yet the gospel tells us another truth. It doesn't say that God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What the gospel says is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the world, when I sadly last looked at it, not only included me, but it also included those who I might believe to be my enemies. It includes those who view things differently to me. It includes those who embrace different values than mine. And so it is ultimately only as we individually come to the cross that we begin to appreciate just how much we have been forgiven and start to rejoice that such forgiveness is available to all, even those who we consider to be our enemies. And it's hard for our minds to make that leap, especially when in our minds are very present those who perhaps have hurt us, those who have said unkind things, perhaps behind our back or even to our face. Maybe those who have discredited us or who have insulted us or who have done all in their power to persecute us, as happens in many parts of the world today, where the Christian church is persecuted and people seek not only to imprison those who follow the way of Jesus, but even to take their very life. And so as we think of this challenge of forgiveness that Jesus issues to us in this very powerful story this morning, perhaps the best thing that we could do is pray that we would be filled with the Spirit of Jesus as we try to invite him in more and more to our lives and to instill in us the grace and the wideness and largeness of heart to extend forgiveness to others, even those who have hurt us. Let us pray. Lord God, we take a couple of moments in quietness this morning to reflect afresh on your love and your forgiveness. And as we do so, we come to the cross, which confronts us with both the evil that we are capable of and the love of your Son Jesus, whose arms remain outstretched to welcome us and to embrace us. Lord, help us to appreciate afresh all that you have done for us. Expand the horizons of our hearts to forgive those who've hurt us. And we ask that your love would dissolve the bitterness and the anger that we feel at times towards others. And we pray too that it would spur us on to become forgiving people. Lord, in your mercy. We pray this morning for all whose lives have been thrown into turmoil and chaos through recent disasters. And we pray especially for all affected by the earthquake in Morocco, by the floods in Libya. And we think today of all those families that have been bereaved, people who've lost homes and livelihoods and who've been left with nothing. We pray for all who are seeking to respond on the ground. We pray for the work of aid agencies and for the speedy arrival of international aid. We think of all who are trying to comfort and to help those who've been affected. And we ask, Lord, that you would be very near to those who are in those regions this morning as we worship you here. And we ask it through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray for the sick and for the poor and for those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially today for all who are awaiting the outcome of medical tests. We pray too for those who are awaiting major surgery. And we pray for family and friends who wait with them. Lord, we ask for courage and for faith in lonely times of illness and uncertainty, when people's faith and resilience seem low. And we pray for the work today of chaplains in hospitals and hospices. And we ask that they would minister your love with gentleness, compassion, and insight. Lord, in your mercy. And we take a couple of moments now in quietness to bring into the Lord's healing presence those who are particularly in our minds or on our hearts as we come to church today. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to join together to sing again. If you're following in the Red Church hymnal, it's hymn 480. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining with us in our worship this morning, and we're going to close our service as we sing together hymn 374, When All Thy Mercies, O My God.